Welcome back to Silverlight TV. I'm John Papa. Today we've got Joby Joy back on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. And we had a great episode with you, I think, a week or two ago. We talked quite a bit about some of the apps that you've written.
Yeah, it was fun.
And you gave us a good teaser on something that we felt we really needed to do a show on. And the concept is, I like to talk to people about what's the problem we're solving.
True.
You know, why do we write code? Not just because we like pretty code.
Not just for... You know, just to make it work also, to work it elegantly and performant, because this is a phone, right, usually.
Exactly.
So it's for calling. So when we are writing an app, we should respect the small processor. You know, everything is, the resource is limited, so.
Exactly. And one of the big issues that people have talked about is, if you ever run an app, here, I'll put it this way, if you ever run an app where you've got a list of images and you're scrolling through it, could be a Twitter list, it could be a list of Bing images, which we'll show today.
Okay.
It could be anything. And as you're going through the scroll list, you've got to download a lot of large images. Maybe the scrolling is stopping as it's going. It looks herky-jerky.
Yeah.
How do you solve this kind of a problem where you've got lots of large images?
Yeah.
And you've got a good solution.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's all small, pretty much small tricks and tips, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So we should not let our UI to make any of the network call or, you know, do it totally in a separate thread in terms of technical, but you know,
right. You don't want the UI to be blocked because of network call.
Yeah, and some other small tips, like, you know, in a data template of the list box, you should not, you know, use any storyboard or visual state manager kind of stuff right inside the template, because while you are instantiating each of that SAML, you know, there will be so much effort to do it. You know, most of the time we can just trade off that to get it more performant, and no converters or maybe another small tip would be like...
That's a good point. No converters as well. No storyboards, no converters. You want your data templates just to be rendering data.
Totally. Yeah. Try to do that small conversion just as part of your view model itself to make, you know, less work on the SAML instantiation side.
Right.
You know, so that when the view model get constructed, most of the time, the view model can get constructed in an off thread. So, which makes... And one another point, maybe, you know, usually people can put complex vectors as the preview image or something, you know. Complex vector or opacity on that stuff. To get a transparent vector, you know, use a PNG image instead of that. Because when you're using a PNG, that 100 items in the list box gets instantiated by a single, you know, PNG image. If it was a path vector or something, you know, each of that...
Render that visual tree for that path.
For entire, you know, each of that 100, it will get instantiated. Of course, we can have the virtualizing stack panel kind of thing. But again, you know, that all gives a level. You need to attain
That's
even
a good
more.
Point. A path may sound like a good idea. And I ran into this with... I wrote a plugin for the Seismic application where I initially used some PNGs... Mm-hmm. Or sorry, initially used some paths to draw some things.
Okay.
Because I figured, hey, you know, the PNGs are big, might be too large for download. Mm-hmm. But then after rendering hundreds of these...
Using one single memory for that PNG because the platform is optimizing it. So
downloading 5K PNGs, even though you got 100 of them, is better than rendering paths 100 times.
Yeah, and preferably all those placeholder icon or preview icons would be better to have it as part of the, you know, solution itself, you know, as a resource itself. Yeah.
So let's take a look at the... You wrote a demo application to demo this whole concept.
Just a scrolling as well as how to handle the images a little more, you know, best practices way, I would say. So, see, I got a small Bing search application.
Let's search some fruits. What's a good fruit?
I think I like mango recently.
Mango, all right.
Okay.
So we click here. Now it's going out to look for a series of images.
Yeah. See, the way it got loaded, you know... Because every of that image download is happening in a thread with a queuing structure. So, you know, you can find this kind of code everywhere nowadays. You know, we have pretty good best practices from Microsoft itself on, you know, the low profile image loading or, you know, those kind of thing. But here, what I abstracted that kind of inside the view model and made that as kind of a separate entity which can handle all the isolated storage handling. The downloading the image in the background thread. So
right off the bat, when you went out there to load this page, it loaded those images not on the UI thread?
Not on the UI thread at all.
How did you actually load the images? What's the process that it goes to get it? How do you manage to...
Okay, so here we are just setting a number of items for the queue. So here I would say 10 items we just got downloaded. So you can see this now. Those images haven't been downloaded. You can see the big...
And the key here is you still got your mouse... finger held down.
It is not. So that's why the performance will be whatever the system can give, we are getting that performance. We are not affecting the scroll at all.
You're not blocking the UI at this point.
See, I'm going to release that at this point.
So you let go of the mouse, and now the image is coming.
The next ten, or whatever the entity up to this, I got a calculation there. So up to that, it is getting done.
Calculation based on where you're. Yeah.
Yeah. So the code, I can show the code for that small particular part, which will be like just that. I would say.
So you've got two images showing there, but I only see one.
That's true. But you saw that Bing thing, which is a PNG, which comes as a preview URI, view model, and the value, which is really a bitmap image, which got downloaded off thread and then, you know, pushed into the bitmap image.
Okay, so the first one is the preview URI. That's the small little icon, and that's directly downloading.
Yep.
But the binding, the value property, that's something on your view model, I'm assuming, that you are storing as a bitmap?
True. That story. I can show that.
And that's the big image.
That's the big image, the finally downloaded image. See, you can see the preview URI as one of the vModel property, and then the bitmap image. This is where the heavy stuff coming from the network.
And somebody might suggest originally, why didn't you just make that also a URI? If you did make that a URI, then that would be downloading as you go as well.
True, which
would block you.
Yeah. In a case, I'm using it as object for me to see. I have sometimes the URI coming because it can be a resource, a local resource image.
Sure.
Sometimes it can be, see the case here. When you hit on one of this image, see the image was fade at the beginning and then you got the real image.
So let's show another one real quick so people can see that. Yeah. What we're trying to show here is that when you first clicks on, he's got to go up the screen. Yeah. When he first clicks on the image, you're going to see the low-res preview image just stretched.
Just stretched, yeah.
And then the big one's going to replace it.
Replace it, see. So see, boom, it was fade. And then the real one came. So usually, since it is a new page, typically a developer can do, again, placing another PNG icon in the background, which will be inappropriate because you already saw the small preview. Why don't we stretch and use that same resource?
You've already got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just be green.
Let's be green. I like that.
Okay. So that's why I put this as object because this is the construct happened for the second place where I passed the previous bitmap image for the which we
generated. So you're not using the URI the second time.
Yeah.
When you click on it, you're actually loading the bitmap.
Loading the previous bitmap image as the URI.
So is it fair to say that when you first download the initial list, you're using the URI, and then you're storing that little preview image as well?
Yeah.
So at that point, you're storing the preview image and the larger image.
That's true.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that's kind of maybe I can show the code for this part.
It's again rendered. Okay.
Yeah. It's again, this is the one we showed in the list.
Mm-hmm.
See, you are going and seeing the image view where you're having the same construct.
So this is the individual image.
This is the one bigger image.
Right.
So which again, you
same
have
code,
the same
basically.
Binding, same thing. So that is the beauty of this kind of an implementation because everywhere, maybe when you're taking into the blend, maybe a blend expert is just doing the work. He can just have this construct pasted everywhere. So most of the time, just changing that.
And image is your view model in this
view
case?
View model, which I can show now. See, Bing result is one of that small item.
It's one item in the template.
Yeah, see the image, which is an isolated image. That is a class we saw it.
Which you've created, right.
And the thumbnail image getting generated from my resource, which I got a app.config resource, app.saml resource there. And there is a place I have an overridden function called load images. This is the way the scroll viewer, the scroll bar actually, whenever it gets a chance to download the next 10, the call actually comes here through my vModel architecture.
Okay.
So,
and you're not passing in a number here because we've hard-coded the number that comes through.
It's like a collection of this Bing results is what individual thing.
Right.
So you'll be calling that maybe for 10 of that and loading that item. So.
Gotcha. It's pretty straightforward. I mean, there's a lot going on here, but the whole
idea...
A lot
of going on there, but that is actually back into the kind of a base, so that when you're developing an end application, you're pretty much doing this small isolated image properties, and right here in the SAML, you're just using these kind of small things. And it is taking care of all the background thread loading and all the complexities of the platform.
Yeah,
and
I think that's great. You've done a lot of the hard work for us on a lot of this. So if somebody wanted to do some kind of list of images, how could you take advantage of this? One, well, Joby's got a blog post, which will be coming out soon, which will explain how some of this works.
Yeah.
But something else we talked about a little bit offline I wanted to show, too, was this works in Silverlight.
Yeah, so since this UI seems pretty okay to have, you know, work anywhere, it is WPF foreign. So you can see most of the code I have here, even the view model. See, everything is just linked, so which means it's 100% portable into a typical Silverlight application also, and most of the SAML also. The SAML, the only disadvantage is some of the time we need to have our reference XML and namespace, which is actually, you know, we cannot do a hash if def to make it WPF or Silverlight or Windows Phone 7 switch. So here you can see all those same view models and same views, Bing collection view.
Are you? I don't think I saw it in here, but I'll ask the question anyway. Are you guys using the portable class library at all to take code between the Silverlight or WPF in any of these cases?
No.
No? Okay. Because I know that's a newer feature we have. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You're saying.
So I'm just running that Silverlight project, which didn't take any time for me to, you know, develop this thing because it's the same resources, same SAML, everything. So I'm writing, searching the same Mango here.
Click a little button and we should get some images and they fly in the same way.
Yeah, same way. So you hit on here, see, you can distinguish that.
Nice, nice.
Okay. So
a question for you as well. We've got this stack, we've got this list box, and you're using a virtualizing stack panel.
Yeah.
Could you show where that is used? Maybe explain quickly what the virtualizing stack panel has advantages over not using it.
Yeah. So I just use typical items control here because each of the template I have a, you know, invisible button in my case. So see, it's all command bind with my click action into another service, and there is an invisible button style there. So which makes, you know, since the list box is a little bit of, you know, higher entity than lower entity than items control, you know, I thought of using items control because it's simple.
So if I'm hearing correctly, items control, big difference between that and list box is list box has a selected item.
Selected item. I didn't really need to make a selected item because selected item usually we need when I select something and I need to operate something in that same SAML. So here the action is like whenever I do a selection, I'm actually out of that visual tree and going to another page. In that sense, I don't really need a list box. This is one of the item, you know, typically everybody just put a list box by default. But I would recommend to use items control.
And why is that? Why would you recommend?
Because you are not going to, you know, use that selected item as an entity to use somewhere else. Because you hit one place and then going to another page with that selected, you know, you're going deep into that selected item.
Okay, so you're getting the additional overhead of the list box itself.
Yeah, yeah.
And in this case, what you've done is you still wanted to be able to have an action apply when you select something.
That's true. That's
so
true.
You basically just made it invisible. The whole template's a button.
Yeah, because I have the data context of this button at that moment is the selected item.
Right.
Which anyway, it's carry forward to my command.
It's just a transparent button, basically.
Yeah. And you can see the virtualizing stack panel as the items panel for the list box.
And why would you use virtualizing in this case versus just regular stack panel?
Regular stack panel or regular list box, regular items control doesn't keep the proper virtualization in a sense, you know, only the visible items are getting generated in the visual. So when you're doing a scrolling to the next 10 items, that next 10 items are actually, you know, the reused items. It is getting reused across. So only the visible items getting generated.
Virtualizing
in this
totally.
Case. Yeah.
So if you have long list, I guess in this case, long list virtualizing.
Yeah. So if there was 100 items in the list box, you are not actually creating 100 list box items. You are just creating only the visible items.
It's kind of like the standard case we used to have in the big line of business applications where somebody says, a client would tell you, I want to see 10,000 items in my data grid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they're only ever going to scroll through the first three or four pages.
I'm seeing that kind of query in most of the places in the forums. And how will I show my 10,000
on
record?
The phone. Yeah,
on the phone or even on the Silverlight line of business application. Do you really want to see that much at the same time? You know,
they'll say yes, but they won't.
They won't really need. So, which is a decision we need to.
So, just changing the items panel to use a virtualizing stack panel could make a big difference.
Yeah, and here I just placed a style for that items control to take the scroll viewer out of it, because we need the scroll viewer to make sure, you know, whenever I need to detect that scroll viewer stop. So. Mm-hmm. Got the scroll viewer loaded so that, you know, I can keep that instance whenever it got stopped.
Right.
I'm calling my isolated storage image collection to load my next 10 items. Because based on the scroll viewer current position, we can easily compute that, you know, where I am and which index, from which index to which index I need to download at this point. So
I think that's good. This is all a lot of great information, and I know we have other topics we want to talk about in the future. Maybe we'll get you or some other folks from Identity Mine on.
Okay, sure.
But I wanted to wrap up first with thank you for coming on, and second,
it's a pleasure.
You had a hand in a couple of the, you know something about real world apps. You had a hand in a couple of the keynote demos as well, did you not, at Mix?
Yeah, sure. We have, we are, you know, helping out with two of that. One is with IMDb. We need to make IMDb application as a Bing search, you know, search companion application, which I think we call it as Binglet. So Binglets, you know. So when you search a movie in the Bing, then you will be getting a section in the Bing result, all the applications registered as Binglet. So in this case, it's movie applications like IMDb or, you know, any other Netflix or anything can get listed there. But the interesting thing is when you hit on that IMDb icon, you're going to launch IMDb app and going directly into that movie, particular movie which you were, you know, seeing the result in the Bing. So, which is a cool feature.
And if folks want to see this, you can actually watch the keynotes. The videos of the recorded keynotes will be online and live. If they're not already, they should be from Mix 11.
Yeah, and one more item was... one more demo was IRC client. We know that the typical...
Right, that's a nice one.
Yeah, the typical IRC thing is the peer-to-peer or the socket connection feature.
It looks nothing like an IRC client like I remember. It's much nicer looking.
Yeah, it's a Metro-enabled IRC. You know, it's a really neat design, I would say. So the feature we want to showcase is, you know, the new Windows Phone 7 update is going to support for peer-to-peer connection, so which is great.
Right, that's awesome. And it's not just for games, it's for...
Yeah, a lot of opportunity to have a lot more applications.
No, I definitely check these apps out. These guys do a great job. Okay. Identity Mine.
Yep.
Right?
Identity
Mine. Call out to you guys. So, hey, thanks for coming on, Joby.
Thank you. It was
my pleasure. Hope to have you on again sometime.
Thank you.
Thank you all for watching.